Hello, everybody. Good morning. It is wonderful to be with you guys this morning. I am on behalf of my dad. He sent me a message. Let me go to it quickly because he sent me a message this morning just saying, please send our love to the congregation. Just saying even that my family is super excited about the new congregation being announced and very excited for what God is doing amongst you all and would have all loved to have been here. And just such an awesome thing, even with the congregation. This is kind of what he wrote. I'm kind of summarizing it. Essentially, with the new congregation, that is positioning our lives as the church people to advance God's kingdom, to make room for people, to make space and to make more opportunities for people to be discipled into what God has for them, which is the purpose of our lives. So they would have loved to have been here. My dad left last Monday, this past Monday. I'm leaving tomorrow. And I thought I'd start off with showing you a photo. I've got a few photos of like a bit of life. There I am in my tradie stuff. I do carpentry now. So I've got like safety boots on and Harvey's stuff. Demi is there in the hockey stuff. I honestly don't know who the other girl is in the hockey stuff. I met her that night and I haven't met her since. Like she's someone Demi plays hockey with. Demi and Levi in the top right second over there, they're both doing really, really well. They just played a game of hockey. And that's a guy called Adam in the church in King and Saints, loves the Lord, as well as Asher and Noah in the back there, brothers that are also part. They also felt God call them to move to Adelaide and are living for the Lord there, also finding their place in God's kingdom. And so basically, I was a youth pastor here in very short. I'm going to condense this because it's not the main part of my teaching. Very short. I was a youth pastor here, moved there, and need to find a job because I believe God has called me there, but I need to just now find a way to stay being in where he's called me, whatever that is, whatever way. And so I did a bunch of different trades, landscaping, which is like gardening, concreting, electrical stuff. I didn't do anything to do with plumbing, fortunately. A lot of the stuff is laying pipes in the ground anyway. So, yeah, so it's been a wild time. I was never one of the handy guys. I built one cupboard and I literally just slapped wood together. Like, I've never done anything to do with carpentry. So that's what I've been doing. It'll be cool to see, like, a bit of the stuff that I've been doing. You can show the next photo. That was a wall that I framed. So basically, this is how we build houses there. That's attached to an air compressor. It shoots nails. And I built that wall. And then it stands up like the one on the right. And you feel pretty cool because you feel like you've done something. And then you can go to the next one. That's me with my tool belt. It's pretty cool. You have to wear the tool belt, else you don't get paid. So it's got like a hammer and like cool stuff like that. You can go to the next one. This is me when I'll just kind of do a commentary. Oh, mate, I'm about to squish this pole. With one of those things I can't remember, roller. Oh yeah, get it, mate, get it, make it flat. Yeah. Oh mate, that's gonna come out flat in the pancake. Oh yeah. Oh look at that, mate. Yeah. No, that's sick. Yeah. Woo. Wow. And I think I got one more. So this is me with our carpentry guys. Look at the way that thing is bending, and he's cleaning the boss's trailer. That was ultra dodgy. Don't show health and safety this. He is like climbing right under there. Oh mate, that thing is huge. That's gonna fall. That's probably what I was saying in the video. So that's a bit of my job. We were cleaning the trailer. The boss's trailer was like really bad. with the guys, when I've been doing carpentry, I have been, there's been a lot of camaraderie. There's been a lot of like doing stuff together. I hit my finger so bad the other day. Basically, there's something called soldiers, like little pieces of wood. Guys are in the roof. It's a very manly job. Very like no ladies on site ever. Very harsh environment. Which is not very nice. Like it's very hot. Dust blows in your eyes. You've got to use porta potties. Like, all the concreters have also used the porta potties, which used to be me. So I'm like, I've got to, yeah, anyways. And then you got to like some parts of the carpentry thing, you throw the wood to the guy like in the roof. And so there's a lot of camaraderie because the guy's like, you literally spread like this between two trusses and there's concrete below you. And if you fall, it's going to be problems. And these things move because they haven't been shot in net. That's what you're doing. And then you're holding a big nail gun on in your one hand, and then you go like this, and the guy goes and throws it, and you catch it, and then you put it down. You, it's just like, yeah. And then you're like, oh, and the guy's like, oh. And most of the guys aren't wearing shirts. That's like standard carpentry thing. It's very like masculine. And the other day I was throwing one and the guy was like on the other side of the scythe. And I was like, well. And I just chucked it. Oh, I caught it. Everyone's like, yeah. And then the next guy called for one. I was like, yeah. And I didn't even look down. I just grabbed the next one. And I sent it like this. And there was a ladder that I hit with my finger. I was in so much pain. I was like, oh. And then they're just laughing at me. Ah. And then it's like a lot of, it was sore but funny and all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of been a bit of my experience. And this has come with, like, there's been, so if I kind of move on what I want to share this morning is, as I've been going about my days, the job is physically very, it's like a very harsh sort of environment, very hard sort of environment, as well as mentally, like, guys are, like, if you do mistakes and stuff, the guys go at you, which is kind of like, I think, any laboring site across the world. And then, as well as spiritually, the guys are all, on my site, atheists that are not interested really in God. I would say probably my first thoughts when I was on the site was, these guys are far from God. However, I would like to adjust that and say that they're not far from God. God is actually very close to them. They're far from looking and sounding like God, but they are not far from God. In the book of Acts, Peter preaches, he says, God is not far from any one of us. And he has called us to know him. So, yeah, there's been difficulties. There's been moments of faith, which you guys heard at the gathering. And as I was preparing in my mind and my heart for this time, while I've been working and stuff, I've been going, Lord, what is it that you want to say to the congregation here? And actually, it's more from a personal experience that I had, which was, as I've been working with these guys, there's a lot of filth that comes from their mouths. There's a lot of filth that is in the atmosphere, whether it's the music that's played, whether it's the way that guys speak to each other, whether it's the way that people speak about ladies, or they speak about just the purpose of their lives. I had a conversation with the one guy, I got to share the gospel with him, and he said that the purpose of his life is nothing more than to eat food and to have sex. And that statement is meshed in the way that they live. So in every aspect, it's like the way that God wants me to go, and the way of purity and the way of love and the way of kindness and gentleness, it's very opposite that. And I've been getting home and or even on site, and I feel really dirty. At the end of the day, I just feel like filthy from the things that I've heard, from the things that have kind of the responses that guys have had. And kind of my perception was, okay, this is because I am around guys that are feeding their flesh and doing what God doesn't want. And I was going to kind of come and talk about Jesus the washer, because I had a wonderful experience of Jesus washing me. However, I have to adjust it. As I've been reading scripture in the past few days and looking at what the Bible has to say, I've seen, like, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, let's read that. This is the first passage of scripture that we'll read. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? Can you go to chapter 7, verse, we're going to keep reading. Is that possible? Okay, that's fine. Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work towards complete holiness because we fear God. And the let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. As the guys that I'm engaging with, there's camaraderie, but there's only a certain level. There's only a certain level that I can connect with them. Because so much of the conversation is around ungodly things. I have to find other things, but there's only so much that we can connect. And we have to come under God's cleansing, from anything that defiles us. And I've realized it's not just the guys that I'm around. It's not just these things that I'm around that's affecting me and that's defiling me. But it's also, or that it's rather, Jesus says in the book of Mark chapter 7, I'll just share it. Jesus says, nothing can defile you that goes into you. He talks about food. No food can defile you. It goes, passes into your mouth, goes through your stomach and out. He says, it's rather what comes out of your heart that defiles you. And in the Proverbs chapter 4 agrees with him, 4:23. You can put that up. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And in this experience, I've realized, looking back at even just at those times in my work, it hasn't just been that I've been around people that are looking to do sin. It's actually been that my heart is micro-engaging with the sin. And when I say that, I mean, because the guys will, pretty much every day, they're showing each other pornography and stuff. And I've been, by the grace of God, I've not joined them. So it hasn't been an active engaging with that. However, in the conversations, and there's many times when I'm distancing myself, there has to be, for me to be experiencing the filthiness, there has to be some form of engagement that I'm doing with my heart. Because the scripture is so clear. Even though there's times when I feel like I haven't necessarily engaged, if I look back, man, there actually has been where my heart is actually just, in a sense, my heart has been hardened. Because it's so common, the conversations are so common, and my heart initially would feel, it would feel painful. As the days go on, my heart feels less and less pain towards the thing that they're saying. It feels less and less, and maybe even begins to develop pride and develop this is not what God wants, you know. That pride is sinfulness. The pride of, I'm not like them. There's a different thing of, I'm not like them, but I want God to come into them. But it's different to going, I'm not going to be like them. Those guys are not like me. I'm different. And I'm realizing this. I'm kind of sharing in the midst of my realization as well of, wow. If I think of the different, and I've noticed as I've at home, my responses to my family are much quicker to be harsh, much quicker to be short, just short with them, or quicker to get angry, quicker to get frustrated. It's not just because I've been around those guys, but it's been because I've actually, I'm not allowing Jesus to cleanse me from my sin and help me to live for him. And I'm talking about, the Lord is helping me. And as a whole, he is. I am finding that the Lord is helping me to live with purpose. But I'm talking about, over this experience, I'm realizing, hey, there's aspects of my heart that God wants me to surrender to him. There's aspects of my heart when these guys are being just really angry all the time. They're being very rude all the time. They're not having grace. They're not being gentle. There's aspects of my heart that is agreeing with that. There's aspects of my heart that's actually allowing it to fester. And this morning, I want to talk about Jesus who cleanses us. John chapter 13, verse 4 to 10. This is the account of Jesus just before he gets crucified. He comes to the disciples. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash, except for the feet, to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." And the thing that I want to bring to us today is, as Christians, we are fully washed. I'm in Christ. Even though there's parts of our hearts that can engage with sin, we are in Christ. We are fully washed. However, the disciples, they would wear slops, or, you know, like sandals. And they would walk around the streets with dust on them. And as they went through life, they would pick up dust on their feet. And Jesus came and he washed their feet to wash them from the things that, as we go through life, as our hearts, God knows. He knows that we engage with sin. It might even be some parts of sin, it might be unobvious to us. It's very obvious to God. He knows that we need washing. There's so many scriptures that talk about our need for washing, our need to cleanse our hearts, you sinners. Purify your hands. But the thing is that also Jesus wants to wash us. He desires to clean us. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says this. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. 1 John 1 verse 9, which you might know very well. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. God is not looking. This morning, what I want to bring to us is God is not looking just for a transaction. He's not looking for just, okay, our sinfulness for his righteousness. Okay, I agree with that. He's actually looking for an interaction. That he's looking to actually wash our hearts, where our consciences can be deadened, where our consciences can feel dirty. God is looking to wash us clean. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, well, we can read that passage that I gave you. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is Jesus' body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Guys, as people that love God, we are in need of Jesus' washing. We are in need of his cleansing of our hearts. I'm in need. I've had a moment, for example, on site is the guys who have, it's very easy for me to get angry, and I've realized it's because there's also pride in my heart. And yes, there's aspects of what they're doing is wrong. But Jesus' scales is not just what is done to us, it's how our heart responds. And my heart can quite quickly, I've realized as I've been on the site, even though the environment is tough and my heart quickly responds from a place of pride and anger, this is unright, this is unjust. Christ calls us to be gentle. He calls us to be kind. He calls us to respond not the way that people respond to us. He calls us to respond to him. And that is not just we must bring that to him. It hurts God. Our sin hurts God. Our sin is against God. Our sin is evil towards God. The priests in the Old Testament, in Exodus, they would have to wash their hands. They would have to wash their feet. They would have to wash their bodies before coming into God's presence. And for us in the New Testament, Jesus made a way. But we have to still be washed by him. As we come into God's presence, as we aim to follow him, we have to be washed by him. The principle remains of Jesus washing us. It's no longer us washing in a basin, a physical act. But it has changed. It has turned in the New Testament to we are called to be washed by Jesus himself. James 4 verse 8 is the final scripture that I'll read. Demi actually shared this with me this morning. She had her own experience actually yesterday where she felt like she had engaged with sin in her heart. Just for a few moments, and she realized, oh, this is actually displeasing to God. And she came to God, and this is the scripture that she was reminded, that God reminded her of. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And the way that we wash our hands, the way that we purify our hearts, is not through just trying harder. It's not through just having a self-help technique. The only way that God has made for the world, for each and every one of us, is through Jesus and his death on the cross. Jesus is the only person who is able to wash us clean from our sin. It is not you trying to forget about it. It is not a little nap that you hopefully forget about the day. Only through the washing of Christ. Only through us humbling our hearts and saying, God, I submit to your way. Help me, Jesus. Would you forgive me, God? Would you cleanse me from my heart? I believe that Jesus has an opportunity. He has created an opportunity for us this morning. As every day. But I believe a start. If for some of you, maybe, you are hearing this and you are washed fully. Your body is washed. But you're needing your feet to be washed. You're needing your heart. You've picked up dirt. You've picked up filth. You've engaged with sin. God wants to wash you today. It requires us to submit to him. It requires us to call out to him. And he will wash us. And for those of you who maybe haven't been washed, you actually don't know Jesus. You haven't submitted your life to him. God has only made one way to get to heaven. He's only made one way. There's only one name made known to man under all which will be saved. And that is through Jesus. That we are called to turn from our sin. We are called to, we can't make right with God through our own lives. Only through Christ, only through God coming down to earth, reaching down to humanity, the only religion where God himself has reached out to humanity, reaching out and offering the gift of salvation. And you might say, well, if he's died for our sin, then surely I'm fine. God offers it salvation as a gift. And just as a gift is offered, you have the option to receive it. God offers the gift of salvation. He offers the gift of forgiveness to you. But you have to receive it. And the way that we receive it is by recognizing that we are sinful. That we are unable to be self-made and to make a life for ourselves. And we have to recognize that only through Christ we have forgiveness.